Let's go ahead and dismiss the children, but I'm going to ask that we leave things as they are really quickly and worship team stay close. I had a bunch. I've got pages of notes, believe it or not, but I feel like God is the Lord has told me to get rid of the fluff, so to speak, and just kind of bring some of the things that I haven't spoken with Sid or James. I ain't seen James in a month, I feel like, but I haven't spoken to either one of them, and everything that came out of their mouth this morning is exactly what God dropped in my spirit last night at about 11:30. And that's not coincidental, right? That's not coincidental. What that tells me is that you're here for a reason and a purpose this morning, right? Like you are here, like I'm not getting into the predestination thing, but there is something that somebody here, it might only be one person, needs to hear this morning to unlock those dry bones, to put some meat back on the bone right there, to awaken those things that you've buried and layered up on the outside of you, and you just continue to build layers. And I've got all of these stories that I've written down that's happened throughout the week with me, and God has pressed a lot of stuff on me. He's really pressed a lot of stuff on me. But I want to tell you a story really quickly about a young lady that's been in my room for the last month. I guess we've been in school for over a month. And we've got rules at Carrollton about headgear and hat wear and this, that, and the other. And every single day, do-rag, hoods on. Every single day, do-rag, hoods on. Take it off. Take it off. Hey, let's take this thing off. Every single day, we have to work on taking off these layers, right? We've got to work on taking off layers every single day. And I'd finally, my flesh was about to take over, right? And I was about to become somebody that I can be. And then it's okay to be, by the way, because there's a such thing as righteous anger, right? Because we are in the right and we've got, but God stopped me. He put me straight on Galatians, right? And the fruits of the Spirit, which there's a lot of them that are really easy for me, right? There's a lot of them that are easy to be joyful. That's not hard, guys. I'm going to read them really quickly, then I'm going to get to the worst one, right? 5:22, Galatians 5:22. Is where we are. And I thought I had it pulled up and marked right here. Okay, here we go. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance. It's the worst one. Kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against these things, there is no such law. Okay? There's a lot of them that are really easy. It's easy for me to have joy in my life because I understand who my Father is. I understand my life and my family and everything's good with me because even when bad things happen, I know who was in charge of it. So it's easy for me to have joy, right? It's easy for me to love people because that's what the Lord's asked me to do. And because he loves me, I can freely love others. I tell my kids all the time when the bell rings, hey, man, I love y'all. Have a good day. I don't love you the same way that I love her, right? But I love you. Have a good day. That one's simple. That one's easy, right? Let's keep going. I'm going to skip over one. Peace. Man, I got a peace that passes understanding, man. And it's because of the relationship that I've built with him over the last 20 years, right? Because when bad things happen, he gives peace that passes understanding to those that really need it, that understand him, right? Kindness. Man, that's, if you ain't kind, you ain't living right. Like, that's easy. This is easy stuff to be kind to another human being, right? Hard for us to do. There might be specific human beings we don't want to be kind to, but in general, it's easy for us to be kind. It's easier for us to be good and faithful and gentle. Maybe sometimes that one's difficult. And self-control. If you don't have any self-control, you'll find no success in life. But the one that challenged me this week, and here it says forbearance. We can call it patience. You can call it what you want to, long suffering. That one's tough. Because I get tired of having to deal with stuff over and over and over again. However, comma, it's in the Word. Like that's not, you don't get to have it nice and easy all the time because it's in the Word there's something there that you're going to have to deal with, right? Over and over again because inside of you is the thing to deal with it over and over again, right? Because others may get upset and get angry and send this kid to the office, right? They may send them on to the office because they didn't have forbearance, long-suffering, and patience. And as I'm getting ready to be that guy, to bring, and I don't point at people, I bring the hand, right? As I'm getting ready to be that guy, I felt the Holy Spirit stop me. He said, man, let's dig on this thing. So we go outside and we start talking. And I'm talking to this young lady, and she starts crying immediately as soon as I bring her out in the hall. Said, and I didn't yell at her. I was calm, and I said, hey, what's going on? Why is this something we got to deal with every day, right? She said, Coach, man, my hair's messed up, okay? And she starts crying. I said, what do you mean your hair's messed up? She's like, I can't get it fixed. All right. And her hair's different than mine. Okay. I can whip up a ponytail. Okay. Kind of. Right. But her hair's different than mine. I said, well, do you want me to fix it? She said, yeah, coach. She said, please. I just need somebody to fix my hair. So I called, we got a lady that works with stuff like that. And I called her. I said, hey, I need you. I said, I need you to get this done. I don't care what it costs. We're going to get this baby's hair fixed, okay? We're going to get this baby's hair fixed. And she comes down there, and she gets her after school. She takes her. Some business donated it, made it happen, you know, made it happen. And she got that baby's hair fixed. And you know what happened the next day? She came in, man. She head up. Because instead of that, she got this, right? She got this. And she walked around proudly, right? Because her hair was done. How many times can we unlock people by peeling back layers and finding out who they are? That's exactly what this word's been about this morning. This word has been about this morning is getting into a dark place, becoming vulnerable, and calling those things forward that's on the inside of you. Because when you're constantly covering things up, you can't see the rest of the world. When your head's down and you're hoping nobody talks to you and notices you, right? You can't see the rest of the world. And if you can't see the rest of the world, you can't impact the rest of the world. And so that's the story I felt like I was supposed to share with you this morning. So I'm going to get into some scripture and some word. And here's the meat of it. The problem when she takes that hood off and takes that do-rag off is she became vulnerable to the rest of the world. Because then they can see her. They can see her hair that's not been fixed. They can see her impurities, her imperfections. Man, if you want to find a group of people that can find imperfections, put yourself in a high school classroom. You've all been there. They'll find your imperfections. It won't take long. It won't take long. And when they do that, man, some negative things can happen. I'm going to pause and I'm going to make sure I read these things this morning because they came to me so quickly last night. We've had some tough goes this week. And there's another story I feel like I'm supposed to share with you too. I got a little kid, and I promise you I've got some scripture this morning. Man. We're going to James, and then we're going to Genesis. I got another little kid that plays on our football team, our seventh grade football team. Got in trouble at school this week, and I know him. He's got it rough. He stays with three different people during the month. He stays with a grandmother who's younger than me. I say that. I'm not that old, okay? He stays with a grandmother that's younger than I am. Okay, he stays with grandparents that are a lot older than I am. And he stays with, and I'm trying to edit, you know, I want these people to hear. He stays with some folks that maybe ain't getting it right. I'll just leave it at that. And so when I pulled him off to the side after practice, I didn't start here. Hey, man, what happened at school today? Coach, I didn't do nothing. What happened at school today? I mean, I didn't. Something happened. Explain yourself, you know, what happened at school today. Man, they said I did this, that. So I said, look, son, you know, we got to start. We need to make good choices, right? And I start down the road of life coaching this kid. And in the middle of that, I got this stuff here. That's what he got next. And after a bunch of bear crawls and tens and turns and push-ups and squats and sprints and everything else, and I was in his junk, I stopped him and I said, son, you ain't got to be that guy with me. I know who you are. You can put the front on all you want to, son, but I know at the end of the day, you want somebody to tell you to act right and that somebody that loves you. And I love you. And I told him that I loved him. And I made him look me in the eyes. I told him that. And guess what? Those layers, they melt away, y'all. And the reason we put up layers, again, is because we don't like vulnerability. We don't like vulnerability. And that's the word that I feel like God has been punching me with is vulnerability. Because I know that as an adult, even as an adult, I don't want to be vulnerable to a lot of you. There's a handful of people in this room that I've ever been vulnerable with. Okay? And I'm just being honest with you. So let me stop and pray for a second. think that, I'm going to read some definitions for you. I'm going to read the definition of vulnerability really quickly. And here's, I'm going to read three of them. First one, susceptible to physical or emotional attack or harm. When you're vulnerable, you're susceptible to physical, emotional attack, or harm. Someone that's vulnerable is a person in need of special care, support, or protection because of age, disability, or risk of abuse of power or neglect. Abridged version, liable to higher penalties, either because by convention or through having won a game toward a rubber. Okay, so vulnerability, according to the dictionary, is when you are susceptible to a physical or an emotional attack. You're susceptible to comments. You're susceptible. You're out in the open, and those imperfections can be picked off of you. And we start to have a fear of this. And I don't know why God's had me here. He's had me on anxiety and vulnerability lately, because I really think that's where we should be focusing as Christians toward the people of America right now. Because you want to know what our biggest problem is. It's not that people... Our biggest problem is we don't have people that want to open up and become vulnerable. Like that's the issue. You want salvation? Guess what? It's not because you read a book and said, yeah, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. It's because you've opened your heart and you're now vulnerable, right, so that he can come in and pair you. You can't get paired without being open, right? And so our biggest issue is not all this other junk. You know, abortion's not the issue. It's not an issue. A law doesn't make abortion go away. A heart change does. A law doesn't make racism go away. A heart change does, right? And so our issue is not lawmakers. It's not the Supreme Court. It's not the president. It's the heart of people. And people's hearts aren't getting changed because they are afraid to be vulnerable. It happens to us as kids. Think about it. When you start feeding that baby, right? That baby's going to eat anything that you feed him until that baby becomes vulnerable. He don't like them carrots. Or he don't like whatever it is. And I meet people that are in their 20s and 30s that are adults, and they only eat chicken fingers. And they won't try anything else because they're vulnerable, right? They're about to ingest something. They don't know how it's going to react, because that one time I had something I didn't like, and I had a bad reaction to it, and I don't want to have that opportunity to have that reaction again. And I know that's simple. But guys, translate that into the spiritual. I don't want to ingest anything that's going to make me feel vulnerable or make me react in a certain way. So instead of trying it and seeing what happens, I'm just going to stay away from it out of fear. Fear is vulnerability, right? You don't want to be afraid. I'm going to stay away from this thing so that I don't get a negative reaction. The last time I opened, it's like a boxer. There's so many analogies. I put my hand down. I got punched in the face, so now my hands are always up. I didn't wear a hood. Somebody made fun of my hair, and so now my hood is always up. And that is the issue. Not with that's the issue with the Church of America, and that's the issue with America in itself. It's vulnerability. I'm going to skip through this, and I'm going to go right to Genesis. Okay, Genesis chapter 3. I feel like that's where we're supposed to be this morning, and we're gonna take this thing, and then. I think we'll do this a lot anymore, but you're gonna have the opportunity to become vulnerable this morning. Genesis chapter 3. I'm gonna read through it, and then we're gonna unpack it as best we can. Here we go. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals that the Lord had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." Verse 4, you will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman, "For God knows that when you eat eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and she ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking into the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" And the man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." I'm going to stop right there. This is the example that God gives us about, this is about life. Okay, this is about life here. The woman had entered into a conversation with the serpent and became so deeply engaged in conversation, became open and vulnerable to have her mind changed and opened and moved. And then the mistake was made, right? The mistake was made, and bad things happened, okay? That's the short and simple translation of this. There was vulnerability between man and woman and the serpent, and then something bad happened. We continually run when something bad happens, which is why we push vulnerability out of the way. But the thing that really stinks in this is it talks about how the man and the woman realized they were naked, right? They realized, hey, wait a minute, there's an issue here. They realized for the first time that they had been living in vulnerability with the Lord God. They didn't know any better. Like, that's how they were. But when we're born, we don't know any better. Our parents, we're completely and totally vulnerable. I guarantee you, a lot of you have seen some naked butts running around your house, right? Because they don't know any different. I'm at home. I hopped out the bed. Like, this is my house. There's nothing wrong here, right? Everything is good here until they reach that age and they're at somebody else's house and something. They become vulnerable other places and they realize, man, this is not a safe place, right? This is not a safe place. And because it's not a safe place, I'm going to put some stuff on. Because it's not a safe place, I got to cover up, right? Because it's not a safe place. Because something bad could happen, and I've got to cover up. And then God comes in, and he knows all the answers to the questions that he's asking these people. And he's trying to figure out, why in the world are you running from me now? What has happened to you? And so here's what I'm going to submit to you this morning. And I promise you, man, I'm going to let you read these. I've got a bunch of notes, but I just feel like this is where we're supposed to get to. When we have an improper, I'm going to read this to you right here. Proper vulnerability brings life and closeness with God, but improper vulnerability brings death and pain. Proper vulnerability brings life and closeness with God, but improper vulnerability or intimacy, you could say, brings death and pain. We don't hate vulnerability. We hate the results of improper relationship. You need to understand that. You don't hate being vulnerable. You hate being vulnerable with negative effects. You don't hate vulnerability because vulnerability can lead to good things, right? Without vulnerability, you are vulnerable when you are intimate with another person. You're vulnerable there. Someone could come in, stab you in the back, right? Right? You're vulnerable when you are in that position, when you're intimate. However, without intimacy, there's no fruit. Without intimacy, there is no fruit. You are stagnant. We talked about the fruits of the Spirit just a second ago. Those don't just happen. You can talk about the scientific breakdown and the pollination and the intimacy that happens within the growth process there, or you can use us. But there is no joy without intimacy with the Father. There's happiness, and there's a big difference between being happy and being joyful. Because, see, happiness ends, right, when the feeling ends, but joy endures, right? Joy endures until the morning, right? There is no peace without intimacy, right? Because you can feel good until something bad happens, and then I'm not real sure because cancer came knocking at the door, so I don't know if I'm peaceful anymore. Without intimacy, you don't have real peace, okay? You just don't feel bad right now. You can go on and on with every fruit of the Spirit, but without intimacy, there is no fruit. And our problem is we have been intimate with things that have bore bad fruit. When we look back into Genesis, there was an intimacy. There was a conversation that took place, and it bared bad fruit. And that set the tone from that point forward for us as human beings to put on our hoods and put on our fig leaves and walk away, because when I get vulnerable, bad things happen. Because the first time we understood that we were vulnerable was in that moment. That was the first example that we knew that we were vulnerable. Otherwise, we just knew we were supposed to go walking hand in hand with God in the garden. There was no such thing as vulnerable because we were that close. We were that close. I want to read this to you. The result of stagnation. Without intimacy, nothing gets produced. And if nothing gets produced, the word is stagnant. So I'm doing some research last night. I'm pulling up stagnation. And I thought it was very interesting that the first thing that I could pull up was, and I didn't put in a specific type of stagnation. I just put, the first thing it pulls up is economic stagnation. Okay, and I want to read this to you, and then I'm going to read it to us. It says, stagnation causes wages to drop and unemployment rates to rise, while inflation causes prices to increase and money to lose value. The worst of both worlds, which make things difficult for everyday people. One more time, this is, it's not an economic class. We got to get Mark up in here for that. Stagnation causes wages to drop and unemployment rates to rise, while inflation causes prices to increase and money to lose value. It's the worst of both worlds, which makes things difficult for every group of people. It says the consumers lose their power. The result of spiritual stagnation is increased spiritual unemployment. Okay? The result of spiritual stagnation is the, I'm going to read this, then we're going to unpack this, is the increased spiritual unemployment. So there's no work being done for the Lord. People stop attending church or et cetera, which in turn decreases opportunities to meet Jesus. It says the purchasing power of consumers is what it says. Well, this is the opportunities, the consumer, which is not us, to meet Jesus. Okay, it decreases the opportunities there, which in turn means less consumer interest in Jesus and slower spiritual growth in here, not just for you, but for your immediate circle, which Sid was talking about earlier. Okay, that's your immediate circle. I'm going to read all this again. The result of spiritual stagnation is increased spiritual unemployment, us not doing what we're supposed to do. Because if you are stagnant, you are not going out and looking for the one. If you're stagnant, you're sitting here in church and you're expecting that guy or that guy to spoon feed you those peaches and carrots, right, and get you on throughout the day. That ain't enough, right? That's not enough to get you out there doing work for Jesus. And your work for Jesus is not laborious. It's the fruits of the Spirit. That's your work. Your intimacy with Jesus, that's your work. Your joy, that's your work. Because people notice it. Okay, people notice it. Spiritual unemployment because of stagnation. People will stop showing up in the house. Okay, when you stop showing up in the house, it decreases what the house's value. It decreases the house's value. You want to know one of the biggest issues of this pandemic? It's not, and I'm not downplaying it whatsoever. It has decreased the opportunity for intimacy among people. We talked about it. There are people that lay in that hospital bed on those ventilators and they don't see another soul until it's over for them. Because nobody's allowed to go in there, right? You can't, there's no visitors. You can't go in. You can't see people. There's no intimacy. There's no interaction. And without interaction, there's nothing produced. It's just laying there stagnant. That's an issue. Without people being here, there's no opportunity for intimacy. There's unemployment, right? Because there is no intimacy. The purchasing power of the consumers, their opportunity to meet Jesus, it's not there. Because I'm not doing my job. Because I'm not feeding myself, because I'm stagnant, because I'm not being intimate or vulnerable, I'm not doing my job. And if I don't do my job, that little kid, right, or that adult, or that 98-year-old man has less opportunities to come in contact with our Savior. And that's our only job here, by the way. That's it. Because like, if you weren't supposed to do that, you would be gone, right, when he wrote your name down. Mission accomplished. Which is why, by the way, when we talk about going to Honduras, I stop calling it mission trips. It's a colony trip. Because it's a colonization, right? Because if you're on a mission, it's over. Like, you can complete a mission. Mission don't get completed, man. It's a colonization, right? And that's what we should be. We should be colonizing this area. Because if it's a mission, oh, I'm going to the high school and I'm doing this with them, or I'm going to, you're going to finish your mission, you go home, you're going to feel good, and you're going to high five. But when you go to colonize somebody, you're going to change the way that they think. You're going to change the language that they speak. And I'm not talking about from Spanish to English. I'm talking about from kingdom, right? From kingdom to world, or from world to kingdom. You're going to change the way that they speak, the way that they act, the way that they dress, not for any other reason, but because they want to be servants of the Most High as well. Slower spiritual growth, not just for you, but for the immediate people around you. You don't have, let me tell you, if you've been in this thing for a week, you don't have the opportunity to pack it in and put a hood on. You can't do that. You don't have that opportunity. Because first of all, it's not what you're called to do. Matthew 28 says, go forward and preach. Okay? So just because you don't use a microphone on a Sunday doesn't mean that that's not your job every single day. And you don't necessarily have to preach with words. You preach with joy. You preach with kindness and long suffering, right? That's how you do it. Because people are going to see you at your worst. They're going to see you when you're down. Somebody dies and passes away. You know what preaches to them? Not you standing up and preaching that person's funeral, but you coming up on Monday and still having a joy, not a happiness, but a joy because you know where that person ended up. You have a joy because he's still in charge of this thing, right? And a lot of times we stop when we don't get the results we want. And now this is, thank you, Lord, because I was going to say this earlier and it's supposed to be said now. I'm going to go to James really quickly. If you can pull James up for me, and you don't have to turn too hard. I lost my spot here. I'd already pulled James out. Will you pull that scripture up for me? I'm just going to read it from up here. 13. Let's go to 13. James 5, 13. Here's what your instructions are, right? Here's the letter's been written. Here's what your instructions are. It says, any of you suffering hardships, you got any problems? Hands up. You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Next verse. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. One more. I think such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you've committed any sins, you will be forgiven. It doesn't tell you to do this, and when you get to the results that you didn't want to stop. Let's just be real. We've had some people pass away recently. That's happened. Okay? And we did those things that the Word told us to do, and we didn't get the results that we thought we should get. That is not your opportunity to quit. Because let me tell you, his thoughts are higher than yours. His ways are higher than yours and mine, right? We don't have the opportunity to quit producing, because when we stop producing, we become stagnant. And when we become stagnant, growth is impossible. It's an impossibility. You cannot grow in stagnation. I'm going to, James, would you come up and play, lay it down, lay it all down, just play through this thing, because that's another thing, man. I stopped, you know, a couple years ago when I started preaching in here regularly. I'd be at night and I'd be, you know, reading scripture and getting things unpacked. And I'd text Linda like, hey, man, can you play this song? Because that's what I was listening to at the time. Hey, man, she is anointed of God. And every single Sunday when we come in, that song list is exactly what it's supposed to be. But I want to talk about this really quickly. I give this to my kids all the time. It's not fun being uncomfortable, right? It's not fun being on display. I make them get up in front of the classroom and talk and give presentations, and there's some folks that just don't like doing that because it's uncomfortable. But guys, this is a basic fundamental of life. If you are not uncomfortable, you can't grow. If you're not uncomfortable, you can't grow unless you're uncomfortable. Lifting weights. If you didn't get sore, you didn't get stronger. If you didn't become uncomfortable and hurt, you didn't grow. You didn't get any bigger. You just did that. You maintained. And if you're maintaining, you're not growing. And if you're not growing, you're stagnant. And if you're stagnant, there's no fruit getting produced. You've got to become uncomfortable. If there's any place you should ever feel good about being uncomfortable, it ought to be here. But a lot of times we start looking at imperfections, or you're worried that other people are going to spot your imperfections. That's not what you're called to do. All right, listen, you've got to get yourself delivered from the opinions of other people, because your walk with Jesus ain't anyone else's. It's not. Okay? If it was, we'd all have the gates and the farm and everything else, and we don't. Yeah, I'm using y'all as an example as the head of the household. You're not called to live. You ain't got to have a farm. Like that. That's I would love to have a farm, but I'm not. That's not me right now. That's not where God's put me. He's put me inside of a school building. I'm driving my truck, right? And it ain't got to look like anybody else's. You ain't got to look like anybody else's, because it's your relationship with Jesus, and his relationship and her relationship with Jesus is not going to lead your coworker to Christ. That's not going to happen. It's you. It's your relationship. Man, y'all all work together, but you got places unlocked in that building that he don't have. That's just the facts, man. There are people that look at you in a different way that they look at him. And his relationship ain't going to get it done. It's you. That's same for everybody in here. There are people that you're going to see on that campus that only you can impact. And only you can impact. And I don't care how old you are. And the way you impact them is not your words. It's how you live your life. It's the fruit that you produce from being vulnerable, right? And when you become impenetrable because you just don't care anymore, oh, man, then you get loose, right? When you just don't care anymore, sling them arrows at me, because I know they're supposed to be coming, because it tells me they're coming. Like, okay, bring them, right? Send them my way, because that's the opportunity that Christ needs to make himself noteworthy, right? That's the opportunity that he needs to bring this to me. Your ability to be vulnerable or not produces that fruit, and it's going to produce good or bad fruit. Vulnerability leads to intimacy, all these good things that we've just talked about. Don't hold off because you're worried about what people say. Yeah, everybody stand to your feet if you don't mind. Everything that's been said this morning, whether it's by song or by somebody with a microphone, I don't think it's not coincidental that it's about opening yourself up. I don't think it's coincidental whatsoever, right? And as sloppy or whatever as the gospel may have been presented this morning, it doesn't change the fact that you know right now, standing where you are, that there's something that's just not clicking right. It's just not where it needs to be. You're not opening yourself up. You're more worried about the opinions of other people. I talk about how social media is a bad thing, and we look at that thing, and we see all these filters, and we see people chasing likes and people editing their photos and talking about all that stuff. Guys, social media, just like anything else, doesn't have to be a bad thing. It doesn't have to be evil. It can be positive, right? It can be good because you're sharing real things on it, right? You're opening yourself up. You're putting scriptures out there, right? Not to be fake and not because you want people to like it, but because that's what hurts you this week. It's okay for you to share, hey, this week, this is what happened. I lost a really dear friend of mine, okay, but I know it's going to be okay. That shows vulnerability and not fakeness. So whatever it is in your life this morning that's got you held down or staying in that same little pool of stagnation, you ever been in stagnant water? It's bad, okay? It stinks. If you're stagnant with the Lord, it stinks to him. And he says that in the word, right? So as we're here this morning, man, he painted this picture on purpose, right? This is intimate. This setting we have when the clouds are out. Me and James talk about this all the time. We come here to worship and the lights are down. It's an intimate setting for a reason. Because he knew that when you came in here today, he was going to give you the opportunity to be vulnerable with him. And guys, let me tell you this. It's not going to produce anything bad. It's not going to hurt you. Okay, it's not going to hurt you. You might not like it. You might feel uncomfortable, but it's not going to hurt you. So my prayer, my challenge to you this morning is we're going to give you time to get in this altar and get vulnerable. And it's going to give you time to have other people in this house, and they're going to see that vulnerability, and you're going to realize, man, we're all in this thing together. Somebody's going to come down here, and they're going to pray with you. Right? Not to be fake, not to be seen, but because they care about you and your heart and your relationship with God. So let's pray. Lord, I just come to you right now. I thank you for this day. I thank you for the opportunity to come in your house, God, and be vulnerable with you, Father. I'm thankful right now that there are gut checks taking place all over this house, God. And I'm thankful for the fact that when they come down here, Father God, and meet with you, that vulnerability, God, is going to produce fruit. And it's going to produce fruit that only you want to see, God. So this morning, God, we lay it all down. We give it to you. All these things that are coming against us, God, we lay it all down. We lay it all down. We lay it all down at the feet of Jesus, God. And we know that you will take that, and nothing but positive fruit is going to be produced from us. So God, we just loose you in this place this morning, God. And God, we invite you to come and check us, God, in our guts this morning, in Jesus' name. If you need to come, come on.